Thanks for downloading the Wave Church podcast. We hope this message inspires and brings you into a deeper relationship with God. Enjoy the message.
I'm serious. I really believe that we need to stir the faith in this room before we go any further. Does anyone in here believe that in the presence of God, anything's possible? Come on, does anyone believe in here that when God is for us, nothing can stand against us? Come on, does anyone believe that in Christ, that what's behind you doesn't determine what's ahead of you? Come on, does anyone in here believe that our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Come on, does anyone remember that our story includes an empty grave, that the devil tried his best shot? Death tried to have the final say, but it could not overcome the one true Son of God who came not to destroy you, not to denounce you, not to hold you down, but he came to lift you up. Is anyone here tonight with an expectation to meet a God like that? I really believe that. I love what it might have been Pastor Steve, even just in a giving video earlier today, you talked about what we do with the first redeems the rest. And I really believe that right now, as we're in those opening moments of this coming year, I believe the Holy Spirit wants to set the tempo for all of us this year, wants to set the atmosphere in this place. And so if you're expecting, if you're ready, I'm going to pray in a moment. But I just want to speak specifically to people in here right now who you look back on the past year. And as you look to what's ahead, it's difficult to put down what's behind. That there's a sense of aim small so I miss small after the year that we just had. Some people in here where you had a dream, you thought it was a God dream, and now you have no idea how it's going to come to pass. It's not fitting in your timetable. Could be something happening with work. Could be something happening with school. Could be something happening with finances. Could be something happening with your health. But I just sensed as we were worshiping tonight to pray that people's eyes would be open, not so they can see what's behind them, but so they can see what's ahead of them in the name of Jesus tonight. And so we're going to pray for this word, but with every head bowed, every eye closed, if that's you in this place, you're saying, man, Joe, pray for me because I'm having trouble stirring faith for what's ahead because I just feel a little bit knocked down. I feel pushed over. I feel a little bit passed over by life right now, and I don't really feel the presence of God in this season, but what you're saying, Joe, I feel it's for me. That's you in this place. Go ahead, lift up both hands right now. I'm seeing a lot of hands going up in this room if that's you. If you're feeling like life is good and you're living on Cat Island, cool. You don't have to lift up your hands. But if you're in this place, you're saying, man, that's me right now. Go ahead. Lift up both hands. Lift up both hands. This is you taking a step in a God direction right now. Holy Spirit, I pray right now as hands are lifted in this place, I pray that clouds of doubt, clouds of depression, clouds of guilt, clouds of shame, clouds of fear, clouds of insecurity would begin to just blow off of people's minds. God, that those chains of small thinking, those chains of where we've been, that they would begin to break at the sound of your name being spoken out. Jesus, we thank you that with you, 2 + 2 equals whatever it needs to be. That God, tonight, you are not defeated, you are not confused, you are not set aside by the circumstances that we face, but God, you are seated on your throne. And Lord, I pray for every single person who's here tonight and saying, man, I don't know, Joe, I don't feel faith for this coming year. I pray, Holy Spirit, right now, you would begin to do the work that only you can do in Jesus' mighty name. And Holy Spirit, I pray every single one of our hearts would be open to this word. Jesus, I pray that you would anoint our eyes to see what it is that you see. God, to hear what it is that you want to say to every single one of us individually tonight. Jesus, I pray that you would help me, that you would give me the words. I'm not up here because I'm any better than anyone here. Jesus, I need you just as much as the next person. And so I pray that you would be heard, that I would be silenced, you would be lifted up. Jesus, it's in your name we pray all these things. And everybody said, amen, amen. All right, COVID elbow bump, and you can take a seat. Want to welcome everyone who's joining us online. Can we give a hand for everyone online tonight? Come on now. Good deal. Well, I'm going to do something real dangerous. I'm going to ask you guys to help me out with the start of our conversation tonight, okay? So I'm gonna need you to finish a few sentences for me, because I wanna head somewhere with it, but I need your help. Is that all right? Can I trust you to help me in this moment? Right over here, can I trust you guys? Eric, will you help me out? Yeah, you help me? All right, good deal. I gotta wave and I leave me alone from Eric. That was great. Okay. If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and make your way to the book of John. We're going to be camping out there primarily tonight. We'll go a few other places as well. But I want to start out with a few phrases, and these are phrases that you and I have most likely, we all heard these phrases growing up. Okay, so I'm going to give you the first few words, and I just want you to go ahead and, in a loud voice, finish the phrase for me. Is that all right? So here's the first one right here. You guys ready? What goes up? There you are. That was pretty good. That was good. Online, I don't care where you are. You just go ahead and talk out loud with us, all right? Might be awkward for the people around you. Just deal with it, all right? It's all good, all right? So what goes up must come down. Here comes another one. An apple a day. All right, good deal. For all you safety-minded people, stop, drop, and roll. There it is. All right, do we have anyone in here and you fancy yourself culturally relevant? Anyone in here, you're like, I'm cool. Like, I know what's up, right? Like, I'm on the TikToks, right? You like it. You like it right there. That was just for you, bro. Okay. Some churches wouldn't even want me to say what I'm about to say, but I need you to be proud of your cultural knowledge here, and I need you to finish this sentence for me, all right? I'm a savage. I'm classy. I'm bougie. There it is. That's wisdom you can build your life on right there. Not really. Not really. Not really. Someone said, did he just say that? Yes, we did. We went there. I got one more I need you to finish for me tonight. Is that all right? Truth is truth is truth is classy, bougie. No, that doesn't work. Someone just said objective. Someone said relevant. Someone else said relative. Which one is it? See, it's interesting. We live in a world where we can spout out all these different phrases and have absolute agreement on what the right answer is. A lot of it is stuff that doesn't really matter at the end of the day. But when it comes down to those things that you need to build your life upon, we don't have the answers. There's a man who was very influential in the church over the years. His name was Francis Schaeffer, and he said this. He said, modern man lives with both feet firmly planted in midair. Modern man, modern woman lives life with both feet firmly planted in midair. Nothing to pivot on. Nothing to lean back on. You're just falling through space. You see, the reality is our world is a world that has declared war on the existence of truth. And my question for you is, what happens when you remove truth from the world we're living in? You see, if you remove truth, you introduce chaos. Because unless we can agree on the existence of truth, how can you possibly call certain behaviors evil? I mean, it's kind of graphic, but I mean, things like recently leading up to Christmas when we had followers of Jesus who were beheaded in churches in Europe by people, if truth is relative, we can't call that behavior evil. If you get rid of truth, then how do you even build a just society? How do we even have a chance of treating all men equally if truth doesn't exist? If truth is the way you want it to be, and truth is the way they want it to be, and truth is whatever I want it to be, how can we build a nation that judges men by the content of their character rather than the color of their skin? You can't do it without truth. And so we can't have it both ways. We can't on one hand say truth is relative and then on the other hand hold people to a standard. And yet that is exactly what society is trying to do right now. You see, without truth, you can't possibly navigate a relationship with somebody else. You can't possibly have a marriage that you can truly trust if truth isn't truth. How do you even find out if you can trust a person you're dating if to them truth is whatever they feel like it needs to be on that day? I mean, if we don't have truth, life quickly falls apart. In Judges 21:25, it's closing out a story, a chapter of Israel's history that is absolutely tragic. It's appalling. When you read it, you can't help but ask, how did this make it into the Bible? And at the end of that book, the very last verse, very last chapter, it says, in those days, Israel had no king, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Is it me, or does that sound like life today? Now, we're living in a world where you do you, boo-boo. You just do what you need to do. You do what you think is best. I'm going to do what I think is best, and let's just hope we meet somewhere in the middle. You see, instead of no king, which is what Judges was dealing with, we actually live in a world now where society is spreading the lie that everyone's a king, that you can be your own king, and you can have your own kingdom, and maybe you'll be the, I don't know why I keep coming back to Cat Island, but maybe you'll be the only one on Cat Island, but at least you and your 12 cats are going to be happy. And the reality is, if everyone's a king, guess what? No one's a king. Because the very notion of a king is that one is above the rest. So if we're all kings, none of us are kings. It's interesting. You see, the title of my message tonight's a really simple thought. It's called An Inconvenient Truth. An inconvenient truth. We live in an age where truth is not convenient. You see, we live in an age where we all believe that the most important person in all of society is little old me. That the person that is the hero of humanity in my story, it's me, and your story, it's you. I mean, in the morning, social media has taught us to pick our cereal the way LeBron James picks his basketball teams. Okay, it's like I'm taking my towns to Cleveland, and you're taking your towns to Lucky Charms. It's like no one cares what you ate for breakfast. I'm sorry. It's just... But we live in a world that conditions us to think that every single moment of my life, it must be shared, it must be known, it must contest for people's attention, and I need the likes, and I need the acceptance, and I need everything focused on me. You have been taught that you are the hero of your own story. But the problem with your story is that the person next to you thinks that they're the hero of the story. And the problem, it gets even more complicated, is that four more seats down from them, someone else thinks that you're a part of their story. And guess what? You're not the hero. Regardless of what your story is telling you, they're actually the hero. And we write our God-like stories, elevating personal preference and comfort above truth and principle. It's real quiet in here. Is anyone tracking with what I'm saying? Someone give me like a truth tomahawk right there, all right? There it is, all right? We'll call it that instead of whatever Luke was calling it earlier. What was it, a woodpecker? Woodpecker arm, there it is right there. Truth tomahawk sounds way better. It's like you're hitting the devil in the face right there, okay? You see, society has built full-on false gods out of the idea of, are you comfortable? As long as you're comfortable, commit your entire life to it. Go all in. Do whatever it takes. More than anything, be comfortable. And then the twin God that goes with it, acceptance. As long as you're accepted. I mean, it couldn't possibly be wrong if it can bring acceptance, can it? You see, our generation, we seek religion, but we want it on our terms. And why wouldn't we try to have it any other way? Because remember, at every single turn, we're being taught, be your own God. You go on social media, you're conditioned to be your own God. You walk through a mall, and you see all the promotions that are around. What is it doing? It's inculcating in you this idea of you deserve the best. You work hard. Go ahead. Just Be the best, be the one, be the God, be the person with the attention, with the focus, with the belongings. I know what I'm saying tonight. It's kind of not your normal hoorah beginning of a new year conversation, but I do think it's something that has the ability to shift the trajectory of our lives in a God direction if we're willing to call a spade a spade. Trying to figure out how to say this without sounding like a cranky old man. Do I already sound like that? Okay, just making sure. Someone over there said, yeah. Thank you for being honest. I respect that. It's rare this day and age. Okay. You know what I find? I sit with people and I talk to them about Jesus and I realize it's not the Jesus that I'm following. And they talk to me about the gospel and I realize it's not the gospel that I find in this book. Because as I begin to talk to them about decisions that they need to make in life, I realize that the gospel they're pursuing is a gospel that saves them and it serves them, but it asks nothing from them in return. See, the moment this message costs me, that's religion. The moment this book requires me to get uncomfortable, that's shame and guilt. And Jesus came to get rid of that for me. One of my heroes of the faith, he's a man who, here's a novel thought. He gave up his life on account of what he believed. His name was Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He's one of the few people that was known to get in a shouting match with Hitler and leave the office alive. And he was a theologian. He was a pastor. He was a preacher. He was a man of faith. Fascinating figure. But one of the things he talked about is the most devastating thing to a Christian's faith is this idea called cheap grace. The idea that you can get all the grace from God and it costs you nothing. And the reason that's so devastating to the Christian is that as long as I get everything I need from Jesus and nothing is surrendered in return, I stay the same. And I don't become the man, you don't become the woman that is truly molded and shaped and changed, dare we say it, transformed by what Jesus is doing in your life. And I think one of the biggest casualties of this cheap grace is the existence of this thing called truth. Give me a gospel that saves. Give me a gospel that serves. But don't you dare try to change me. Don't you try to change the way I think. Don't you try to change the websites I go to. Don't you try to change the things I do in my dating or marriage relationship. Don't you for one second, Jesus, try to change the way I think about myself or talk about myself. Jesus, not for one second do I give you permission to change how I identify. That is sacred ground that only the God called me can determine. See, the gospel never questioned what you identify as. The gospel calls you to lay it down and pick up who Jesus says you are. I understand I'm walking on some eggshells tonight, but I hope you hear it from an attitude of love, of caring enough to say what needs to be said. I'm sick and tired of seeing people who are dying on this battleground simply because people were afraid to offend them with an honest conversation. If you look in Scripture, you see Paul talking to a young man who's on his ministry journey. That man, we know his name is Timothy. The book is named after him. You look at 2 Timothy, and Paul talks about a day that's coming. And again, I think it sounds a whole lot like today. He says this in 2 Timothy 3. Verses 1 through 5. He says, but realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. Tell me if you think this sounds like today when we get to the end of this list. Men will be lovers of self. Check. Lovers of money. Check. Boastful. Check. Arrogant. Check. Revilers. I don't know what that means. Okay. No, I'm just kidding. Disobedient to parents. Check. Ungrateful. Check. Unholy. Check. Unloving. Check. Irreconcilable. Check. Malicious gossips. Check. 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 Okay. Without self-control. Check. Brutal. Look at the news. Check. Haters of good. Check. Treacherous. Check. Reckless, check. Conceited, check. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Don't let the truth get in the way of a good time. Listen to this next verse. Holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. Holding to a form of godliness, but denying its power. What does that mean? What does that look like? It's what happens when I follow Jesus at arm's length. It's what happens when you don't know I'm a Jesus follower unless I tell you I'm a Jesus follower. Because my life doesn't tell you I'm a Jesus follower. To having a form of godliness but denying its power is saying, Jesus, I let you into all these areas of my life, but that whole tithe and offering thing, don't go there. Having a form of godliness but denying its power is when we begin to build fences in our journey with Jesus and say, you can come as far as you want, but don't cross this line. Because that line right there, that is the line of demarcation between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of self. And I want to stay God in that area of my life. And when you and I choose to live that way, the whole thing falls apart. And it's not a problem with this book that I'm preaching from tonight. It's not a problem with the God that I serve. It's the problem that we took a message and we tried to force it into our own terms. And I just wonder tonight, where have you built a boundary keeping the presence of God out of your life? Where have you built a boundary? And honestly, it looks like you're getting away with it. You're fooling your community group leader. If you're married, maybe you're fooling your spouse. You're fooling your coworkers. Maybe sometimes you're even fooling yourself. Now, again, maybe right now you're hearing me say all this, and you're like, dude, this is legit. Like, this is real stuff you're talking about. Yes, welcome to Wave Church. We are committed followers of Jesus Christ here at Wave Church. I love what Pastor Josh was preaching about today in John 6, where Jesus is speaking, and he gives a message, and the truth was a little bit too inconvenient for some people, so they said, not my Jesus. And they went somewhere else. Can I tell you something? If your faith fits seamlessly with our culture, that should set a warning bell off in your mind. If there is not an area in your friendships with people in your world that don't know Jesus, where you don't seem to march to a different drumbeat and it shows from time to time, that should be a warning sign. Conversely, it should also be a warning sign if you don't have any friends who don't follow Jesus. All right? Because if all we're doing is hanging in the holy huddle, you're not in the fight. And we need you out there sharing the good news with the people in your world. But if everyone around me, if my faith does not cause for points of conversation and people saying, explain to me about this in a natural, real, honest friendship way. I'm not saying to force those moments. I'm not saying to try to be the gospel, you know, Bible thumper. I'm not trying to say any of those things, but just people watching you love Jesus with your whole heart. If it does not turn ahead, cause a question, or point out something's different about you from time to time, I would like you to prayerfully ask the Holy Spirit if you are already a cultural casualty. You see, society handles the truth the way we handle our pictures on Instagram. If I don't like it, put a filter on it. Change the color, change the shade, put some sparkles in the corner. It doesn't matter. Like, if I don't like it, retake the picture at a different angle. Everyone else in the photo could look ready for the cover of GQ, but if I've got, like, the dreaded triple chin going on, that photo's not going on my account. Conversely, everyone else in your group could look like they came straight out of a lineup at the local police department after an illegal New Year's party, and they're just like, you know, like barely holding on. But you look ready to roll. That's the picture you put on Instagram. You see, anything that says, I don't measure up, we just cast it aside. And all we do is take good report after good report after good report after good report, and just we build for ourselves this narrative of success after success after success after success. And if all you know is success, one of two things are happening. Number one, you're swimming in the kiddie end of the pool called life, and you're not taking any risks. And you were created for choppy waters. You were created to take risks for the kingdom of God. You are not created to live life safe. You are not created to just be a carbon copy of someone else. You are called to be a carbon copy of one person and one person only, and that is Jesus Christ. And nothing about his life was safe. So if everything for you is success after success, one of two things are happening. Either A, you're living too small a life and you're going easy on yourself, and God's called you to do greater things for him. Called to be a Ferrari, not a Fiesta in Jesus' name. Or the second thing is this, you're lying to yourself. And you're just giving yourself the press you want. So I can feel good with myself. So I can again go back to my twin gods of comfort and acceptance and feel fed. You see, here's the inconvenient truth. The truth exists independent of my thoughts, feelings, or emotions. The truth does not depend on how I feel about it. Truth does not depend on what I think about it. Truth does not build on my feelings or emotions. For instance, when I was in high school, I had the horrible idea of actually playing basketball. I've kept it a secret for a really long time. I don't think I've ever told it ever before in a story. My private school Christian team in Georgia, we were the, I can't even remember what my school was called, Fellowship Christian High School. We were the Paladins, y'all. We were second place of all the Christian schools in Georgia, all right? JV. For the two schools, yeah, but still, we're second place, okay? And as much as it makes me mad, I mean, gravity did not make me feel like a successful basketball player. But gravity didn't go easy on me, so I'd feel like I was a better member of the team. It is a truth that is constant regardless of what I think of it. I always love going out and challenging myself in physical events. There's this one event I went to be a part of 2 years ago. To date, less than 30 people have finished it. I think there's 27 finishers. This event has a 3% finish rate. And I went out for this event, and I was in the screener at the beginning. I won't give you the sob story of why this happened, but in the screener, push-ups crushed it. Sit-ups crushed it. Five-mile run, didn't make it. Don't laugh at me. Come on now. She's just like, ha-ha. All right. Thank you. It's the truth. It hurts. You know what? In that moment, I did not like the fact that I did not meet the standard. I felt ashamed. I'd been training for that event for a long time, and a lot of people knew about it. I felt embarrassed, right? I came back, the entire staff was like, how'd you do? Really? Oh, you know, like just those awesome, they were trying to be encouraging, and you're just like, just walk away. Just leave me in my suffering alone, okay? I did not like how it felt to miss the mark. But it did not change the fact that I missed the mark. And I will never have a chance at succeeding where I failed previously unless I come to grips with the fact that in this area, I failed. That's the way truth works. That is how truth becomes our best friend. You see, the moment, the nature of truth, it cannot be amended, it cannot be modified, and it cannot be altered. That is what makes truth the truth. In the moment you do that with it, it's no longer called the truth. It's called your opinion. And the problem with society today is we're trying to tell you that your opinion has as much authority as the truth. And the reality is your opinion will only ever be your opinion. And an opinion never takes precedence over truth. If you allow opinions to take precedence over truth, life as we know it will implode. See, truth is not the byproduct of cultural trend. Truth does not look at what do people think is the belief du jour, and I'm going to switch to match that up. Did you know for thousands of years, people thought that the sun rotated around the earth? And all that time, the earth was still rotating around the sun? We thought, we're the center of it all. We get to choose what's true. And the sun just thought, that's cute. Just keep moving around me for another couple thousand years, and then this guy Copernicus is going to come, and bless your heart, he'll tell you what's up. And it was a revolution for all of the sciences, all of humanity, all of the earth, and so many other things in our societies. It changed everything. Listen to me. The inconvenience of truth does not make it less true. Just because it hurts doesn't mean it's less true. Just because you don't agree with it doesn't mean it's less true. Now, where does all of this go? How have we been relating to the truth of Jesus Christ? John 8, 31 and 32, Jesus says this, if you continue in my word, someone say my word. So everything Jesus is about to say, it doesn't rise and fall on your words, culture's words, society's words, the government's words. It doesn't rise and fall on your hero's words. It rises, everything he's about to say is about following with Jesus' words. He says, if you continue in my word, then you'll be a disciple of mine. And you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. You know, the band can go ahead and come on back up right now. But Jesus is talking, and he tells you, hey, at the end of the day, if you follow this message that I have, there is freedom in this message. And a lot of people look at that, and we just get to the end, and we say, freedom, I'll take it. And we treat the message of Jesus like a buffet. And we just focus on Jesus. You said I could have freedom. And so we just keep coming back saying, give me freedom, give me freedom, give me freedom, give me freedom. But it was a if-then conditional statement. The freedom flows from living by his words. I actually got a little graphic up here that we can show you real quick. It kind of maps out this whole verse for you. Maybe we don't have it. Nope, we don't have it in Jesus' name. If it shows up, let me know. But the reality is that the world's definition of freedom is very different from the Bible's definition of freedom. And when you look at this word that Jesus uses, where he says, you will be free, it's a Greek word. It's pronounced eleutherao. Eleutherao is what it says. And when this word is used in the New Testament, it's used in a very unique way. The first thing you need to understand is it's never used in the context of politics. And what does that tell us? It tells us Jesus' message was never a political message. And that's why in the kingdom of God, there's going to be room for Democrats, there's going to be room for Republicans, and even those really confusing libertarians in the middle, that everyone who's not a libertarian, you think they're wasting their vote, okay? There's room for everyone in the kingdom of God because the kingdom of God is not a political party. And so if we try to see freedom as something politics can bring, you're mistaken. Politics cannot bring true freedom. The second thing is the New Testament never uses this word to describe doing what I want with me whenever I want. Orthodox Christianity has a different word for that. We call it sin. If freedom to you is doing what you want, how you want, when you want, you are asking Jesus to sanctify sin. Jesus said, put down your nets and follow me. Put down your dreams. Pick up mine. Put down that hollow God that you've made out of yourself. And feel safe for the first time ever, letting me be God. You see, freedom is not getting to do what you want, when you want, how you want. Freedom is living according to God's will. That's not a message the world's going to tell you. You see, truth is God's prerogative. And you say, why can you say that? Because as creator of the universe, he has sovereign right to decide what's true and what's not. Because that brain that you try to use to come up with your own definition of truth, he made it. That dust you stand on in defiance of God, he put it there. The beating of your heart within your chest as you say, there is no God. It is empowered to do what it does because at the beginning of time, God gave the heart its direction. And even when the world said you weren't a human being in your mother's womb, Jesus looked at you and he saw your future. And he formed you with his very own hands. You see, God defines truth because he is the creator of the universe. And if you're sitting here and you're saying, Joe, I don't agree with that. How can you possibly say that? We are a church and we teach Christian truth. And to be a follower of Jesus does not mean you wear skinny jeans, okay? It means you bow your knee to Jesus. And you say, everything that I am and everything that I've ever been, everything that I will ever be, Jesus, I trust you with all of it. See, truth is found in Scripture. It's not found in public opinion. It's not found in voting polls. It's not found in government legislation. And it's not found in your own emotions, because give it time, they'll change. Truth is found in the divinely inspired Word of God. That is what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And if we're truly his disciples, we do not force this book to line up with our life. We take our lives and we conform them to this book. What do you mean save sex for marriage? Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. What do you mean turn the other cheek? Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. I wonder, where is it that you're trying to be your own God? Because the reality is, I still find altars to false gods in my own heart all the time. It's called welcome to life on this side of heaven. The question is, when I find them, do I leave them or do I smash them? And I'm not asking you tonight, do you have any false gods, follower of Jesus? I'm asking, where are they? There's a big difference between the two questions. Not do you, but where? Where are they? And here's the thing, you can fight that battle once and it'll pop back up a few years later. Welcome to human nature. Remember, that's why we need Jesus. And so as I bring everything to a close here, you know, you get around this time of year and people love to just talk about everything that we're going to go ahead and do. And it's amazing to me how we have all these great plans for 2021. And I can hear the plans and I don't hear the name of Jesus mentioned once. And I just want to encourage you, as you dream for a better year, don't leave Jesus out of your plans. And why don't you give him a rights of veto power for your plans? Because I love what Zoe actually said earlier. One of the greatest things about God is he doesn't give us everything we ask for. Because if he did, it would probably destroy me. Because left to my own nature, I'm going to ask for things rooted in pride, rooted in selfishness, rooted in bitterness. Maybe you look at me and you say, Joe, that's a really jaded way of seeing yourself. It's what the Bible tells me I am without Jesus. The heart is deceitful above all else, is what Scripture tells us. And so what I want to do as you step into this new year is I don't want to give you resolutions worth living for, but I want to quickly, just in 2 minutes here, give you three questions to ask yourself, to pray in conversation with the Holy Spirit on as we do our 21 days of prayer and fasting. And the first question is real simple. Who is the hero of your story? And why does that matter? Because the hero defines truth for you. The hero will end up defining what freedom looks like for you. And I love King David. He was a warrior. He was a fighter. He was a poet. He was the ultimate Renaissance man. And we read his prayers in Psalms. He says, search my heart, O God. Tell me if there's any wicked way within me. Man, pray that prayer. God, search my heart and tell me who's really the hero of my story. And if it's anyone other than you, please reveal it. Maybe the hero's the American dream. Maybe the hero of your story is that dad that you never got the attention of. And your story's a tragedy because you're fighting for something that you can never get because maybe he's already passed away and you're chasing ghosts. Well, until you realize that and allow the Holy Spirit to take that, you will always be at the mercy of that person who's already stolen so much of your life. That guy you were in a relationship with and he spoke hurtful words over you that kept you from believing you could ever be with a man who really, really respected you. Don't give that joker another moment of your life. He's out of your relationship. Get him out of your heart. How do you do that? Let Jesus become the hero of your story. Second question, how have I responded to God's truth in my life? And I'm speaking to Christians right now. Is there an area in your life where you know it does not line up with the word of God and you do it anyway? If so, I want to encourage you. Shame off of you, but give it to Jesus. An area, a thought pattern, a habit, an identity issue that you know is contrary to the word of God and you're happy to leave it there. Man, let 2021 be the year where that idol is done away with. You cannot receive the promises of God living by your own truth. So that thing you think you're getting away with hacking the system on is keeping you from living in the fullness Jesus said you could have. And then the last question. Are you really free? Are you truly living in freedom? Maybe you're sitting here tonight and you're not a Jesus follower. You're like, this is crazy. Let me respectfully ask you the question Dr. Phil asked so many people on his TV show over the years. Well, how's your plan working for you? And if what I'm saying is true, you are right here on the doorstep of receiving the life you always sought but could never find. Receiving the thing you always hungered for but never found satisfaction of. The thing you always thirsted after. Jesus said, just one drink from me and you'll never thirst again. If what I'm saying is not true, it will crumble and fall apart, and you can go right back to the journey you're already on. But if what I'm saying is true, there'll be no turning back. And I don't know your story. I don't know where you've been. I don't know what you've done. I don't know what's been done to you. But I do know Jesus. And there's no one like him. When I felt like giving up on myself, he was there. When the people I trusted the most hurt me the most, he was there. And he's here for you tonight. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you're in this place. And you realize you've been playing games. And I want to pray for you tonight. Life is too precious to waste. You don't have time to play games. You matter to God. This would usually be a moment in the service where I get a little bit louder and I ramp things up, but I just really sense the Holy Spirit is telling me to speak kindly tonight because I believe that there's people here tonight and it's not that you're a bad person. You've done the best you knew how to do, but what you have been given is a lie. And tonight, I don't offer you an easy button. I offer you an inconvenient truth. And that inconvenient truth is that you can never get there on your own. That we all have this thing in our lives. It's called sin. And left to our own devices, it's a hill we can't climb. It's a bridge too far. It's not a question of, do you think you're a good person or a bad person? It's a question of, are you a human being? We all need Jesus. And if you're here tonight and you're looking back on life and what it's been and you're looking forward and you just think something's got to give, something's got to change, I've done the best that I know how and I just keep coming up short. Tonight, I'm giving you a lifeline in the form of the man named Jesus. And if you are ready and if you are open and if you desire to know truth, to know wholeness, to know life, to know love, to know acceptance, to know belonging, then tonight, all those things and more you find in Jesus. You're in this place right now and you're saying, Joe, that's me. I'm in pursuit of those things, but I've never let Jesus into my story. And tonight, if he is who you say he is, I want to know a Jesus like that. I want to pray with you. So in a moment, I'm going to ask right now, Christians are all in prayer in this place. And I'm going to count to three. And when I say three, you're here and you're saying, Joe, pray for me. I want to know Jesus. I want to walk in truth. I want to be made whole. I'm tired of going around in the same circles. I want to live a life worth living. Then tonight, I want to pray with you. I want to pray for you. Maybe at one time you walked with Jesus, but you tried to become the hero of your own story. Come on, come back to Jesus tonight. Or maybe you've never known Jesus like I've been talking about. Tonight, there's hope waiting for you. You're in this place. You're saying, Joe, pray with me and pray for me. One, two, three. Go ahead. Lift your hand in here tonight. Yep, there's a hand right there. Another hand 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 right over here. Come on, online, you can click that button on your screen. Yep, I see your hand. That's awesome. Anyone else in here, you haven't lifted your hand yet. And you're saying, man, Joe, that's me. Come on, maybe right now you're in a wrestling match in your own heart. You're thinking, I can get through this. I don't need him. I'm doing the best I know how. I'm good enough. I'm strong enough. If you could make it on your own, you would be there by now. You haven't yet lifted your hand. Last call, friend. Jesus is calling you. That's you in this place. No one looking around but me. You haven't yet lifted your hand, and you know this moment is for you. Come on, lift your hand. Last call right now. That's you. Lift your hand. I believe there's someone else in here that the Holy Spirit, yep, right there. I see that hand. That's awesome. Come on. Come on, young adults. Let's give a hand for every single person who said yes to Jesus in here. We're going to pray a prayer. It's not about the words. What I love about Jesus is it always comes down to the heart. So we're going to pray a prayer right now. Everyone say, Dear Jesus, I'm following you. I'm done living life my way. I believe your truth. It is now my truth. Without you, I am lost. And I ask for your grace. Take my sin. Take my shame. Take my weakness. It's all yours. I now confess. I am a new creation. My old life, it is gone, and I am now in you. Thank you for loving me, for saving me, and for calling me into a new life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Wave Church Podcast. If you made a decision today to follow Jesus, please go to wavechurch.com and click on I Made a Decision so we can help you on your way to know God in a deeper way. And if you want to visit one of our locations, the website can help you locate the campus near you, or you can live stream our services. Have a great day.